Rick Hanley, this is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. One of the biggest dramas at the State House last year is back for an encore, whether to raise New Hampshire's gas tax. While most lawmakers agree that our state's infrastructure needs help, in 2013 they got stuck over where the money should come from. The House voted to increase the gas tax, the Senate chose to use anticipated casino revenues, and the whole discussion ended in an impasse. Now gas tax supporters hope this is their year with a new bill to raise it, and the debate heard here will be echoed elsewhere, because it's not just New Hampshire that's struggling with this. Many other states are searching for transportation dollars this year. After 5 years of holding off on improvements during a weak economy, many now feel their transit networks just can't wait any longer. Today in The Exchange, we look at this quest for infrastructure casts, including the gas tax debate and other ideas. It's a subject NHPR's Brian Walston explored in a recent story that, by the way, you can find on our website, NHPR.org. And Brian kicks off the hour with us. And Brian, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, Laura.
Well, you write in your article that here in New Hampshire, our current gas tax is being called increasingly unreliable. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, in the simplest terms, it means the gas tax is no longer capable of doing what it was intended to do, which is to pay for the upkeep of the roads and bridges in the state. I mean, the biggest problem is inflation. The construction costs for a typical transportation project have gone up by more than 60% since the state last raised the tax in 1991. And I think that means the tax is 18 cents today. Really, it's only worth about 12 cents. The other problem is people are driving or buying less gas, still driving the same amount, but they're buying less gas. I think New Hampshire drivers bought almost 60 million fewer gallons of gas in 2012 than they did in 2005, and that's translated into $11 million in less revenue.
That's a lot less gas. Yeah. I didn't realize it was
state
that much less.
Officials, they predict this is going to go down about 1% every year revenues from the tax because people are driving less. And, you know, it needs to be pointed out to make the matters worse, a federal gas tax, you know, which provides the states with about half the transportation revenue, they haven't raised that since 1993.
Okay, so New Hampshire's gas tax was raised, about 21 years ago?
I think it was 1991.
Still at 18 cents. Construction costs have gone up 60%.
That's, some estimates of that, yes.
And we're using a lot less gas because our cars are more efficient.
Correct.
So what does all this mean, Brian, for state road and bridge priorities? I mean, Commissioner Clement was with us last week, and he talked about this.
Well, this has been talked about a lot in the last couple of years. I think right now, I think the backlog of maintenance projects totals about $1 billion, a little bit more. Included in that is about 500 state and municipal bridges that have serious structural problems or are structurally obsolete, and about 1,600 miles of state-maintained roads that are beyond repaving and just need to be rebuilt. Right now, there's no money in the state's long-range transportation plan for the I-93 expansion, which is a top legislative priority, but they need $250 million to finish that job. And I think there's another $500 million or more in projects, including the widening of I-93 from Bow to Exit 16 in Concord that were left unfunded on the last, most recent version of the 10-year transportation plan.
So what have other states done, Brian? You did a little looking into how other states have managed this idea of a gas tax or other issues. Just to the gas tax, if you could, please. Do other states raise it, Brian, based on a legislative vote, or does it go up with inflation automatically, indexed, so to speak, with inflation?
Well, I think most states are going now towards more like a variable rate. I think Jamie will talk about this a little bit. 2013 was something of a watershed for state gas taxes. I mean, before that, it had been several years since any state approved any increase, but just last year, six states raised their gas taxes, including Massachusetts and Vermont. I think two dozen states now have so-called variable rate gas taxes, which means they peg it to inflation.
So they don't have to discuss it every year.
Right.
It just goes up with
which
the rate
is, I think, Senator Ralsh's proposal is to peg it to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, or they do it as a per-gallon tax when the gas price rises, gas prices, the tax rises. Of course, when gas prices go down, the tax goes down too. More than two dozen states now tax alternative fuel sources, as Representative Broussard has proposed. And some states just replaced the per-gallon levy with an annual fee for motorists with alternative fuel vehicles.
One more question for you, Brian. We're talking about gas taxes mostly this hour, but you did look in your story, and we'll talk a little bit this hour as well, about other sort of outside-the-box ideas that other states have tried besides the familiar gas tax.
Well, just one in particular, and I know Jamie will talk about this for sure, is, and a lot of people believe this is the future, is that, you know, they'll replace or augment their taxes with something called a vehicle miles travel fee, which actually charges drivers for the miles that they drive. Some states took part of in a pilot project, but only one state has really moved forward with this, and that's Oregon. And I think next year they'll start a program that pay motorists, volunteer motorists, I think 5,000 of them will pay 1.5 cents per mile for every mile they drive in exchange for a refund on their gas tax.
What else struck you, Brian, as you did this story, looking both at New Hampshire and at the national picture?
Well, if you look at the big picture, I mean, the need is pretty staggering at this point. I mean, the long-term impact of so many years of fixed-rate tax rates, I think, adds up to about $10 billion per year in lost transportation revenues. In 2010, total gas tax revenues for states nationwide are actually lower as a share of personal income. I mean, nobody likes to pay taxes, but, you know, the transportation taxes as a percentage of their household income, I think, are lower now, as low as they were in the 1920s.
Looking again at the national picture as well as
right,
New Hampshire.
Right.
Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Brian Walston. He's NHPR's digital journalist. You can find his story on transportation funding, both here in New Hampshire and around the country, at our website, nhpr.org. Again, today in the exchange, we're looking at New Hampshire's upcoming gas tax debate. Amid this broader quest for transportation cash, let's hear from you. Should the state raise its gas tax to raise more money for roads and bridges and other transit? Or are there better ways to bring in revenue that we're not talking about yet? Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. Joining us from Denver, Colorado, is Jamie Rawl. She's a transportation policy expert for the National Conference of State Legislatures, which represents the legislatures of every state. She's joining us from Denver. And Jamie, congratulations on the Broncos, and thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks very much for having me at what is a very early time, Mountain Time.
Also with us in studio, Senator Jeanie Forrester. She's a Republican state senator from Meredith, vice chair of the Senate's Public and Municipal Affairs Committee, chair of the Senate Finance Committee. Senator Forrester, great to have you. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
Also with us, Candace Bouchard, Democratic State Representative from Concord, chairwoman of the House Transportation Committee, a sponsor of gas tax and alternative fuel tax bills. And Representative Bouchard, thank you also for your time. We really appreciate
it. Good morning, Laura. Pleasure to be here.
Well, and I want to start with you, Representative Bouchard, because as I said, you have sponsored various bills raising fuel taxes. Make the case for us for raising these fuel taxes, especially after last year when the House tried and the Senate said no thanks.
Okay. The fuel tax is actually a user fee. So New Hampshire has gone through the model of the gas tax, which is actually called the road toll in our Constitution, that users should pay to take care of the roads. Before I was chair of the House Transportation Committee, I've been in the House seven terms. I've been on the Public Works and Highways Committee before that, and for two terms I was chairman of the Public Works and Highways Committee. So highway infrastructure has always been on my list of items to do and policies that I look at, and through the years it became clear that we were not keeping care of or even being able to keep pace with our transportation system, basically our roads and bridges. So with that, for me, it's become a highway safety issue, that it's about commerce, it's about moving people, it's about jobs and economic growth. And as Brian pointed out, how far behind we are and that we can't keep up. We can't even keep up with our paving schedule. So not only can we not do the I-93 expansion, people north of Concord on our state roads are seeing roads that are barely being maintained. If the road is a bad road, it probably won't even be resurfaced because we can't afford it. What we're doing now is trying to keep the roads we have now. So we have heavy hauling trucks having to make longer routes because certain bridges that they might have typically gone over, they cannot go over. These are the smaller E2 bridges, we call them. And also, we have a distinction here. We want to talk, we're talking about our highways. New Hampshire has a highway trust fund for our highways, which is I-93. Most of I-93, I-89 in our other roads, but we have a turnpike fund, which is separate. So, for instance, from Bow through Concord, that there's a section there that is actually turnpike fund that
That's
is paid
road,
for
so
by the tolls.
Yeah.
Correct. So today I think we're just right now talking about the user fee, as commonly known as the gas tax. We are done with one-time fixes. We have sold you know, the Turnpike system bought a bridge from the state in the Portsmouth area. At one point in time, we had a $30 surcharge on registration. 2 years ago, the House didn't like that. It was sunsetted. They sunset it and didn't redo it. We've done different transfers. We've spent down money. We've done Garvey bonds, which is bonding against our future federal highway transportation funds. So we're paying those back, but that takes away the money, the federal money we get from the feds.
So all these one-time measures are done.
We're out of it. And yeah. I think Senator Rausch, with his gas tax bill, I think it's he has the right idea. I really appreciate him going forward. And the indexing, as Brian brought up, is something that would help us get on it. So thank you.
Let me get you into this, too, Senator Forrester. And Representative Bouchard mentioned Senator Rausch's bill, fellow Republican, to increase the gas tax 4 cents right now, tie it to inflation later. How do you feel about this new version of a gas tax bill?
Well, thank you for the question, Laura. You know, I appreciate Senator Rausch's attempt to address this issue and Representative Bouchard and really everyone, because we're here to solve problems in the state of New Hampshire. And the transportation infrastructure is an issue for the state of New Hampshire, as it is around the country. While I appreciate Senator Rausch's attempt, the fact is the money that would be raised at that 4.2 cents, I think, that he's recommending will not cover the operational shortfall. So it's almost like a finger in the dike at this point.
I'm going to let you pick up and elaborate after a short break, Senator Forrester. And Jamie, we'll hear from you, too, in terms of what other states are doing on the gas tax. We'll take your calls as well, 1-800-892-6477. We'll be right back.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 919. Good morning. NHPR reaches listeners all over New Hampshire. If you own or operate a business, you can get your message to the entire state by simply becoming an NHPR underwriter. Visit the support page at nhpr.org to find out more about our many underwriting opportunities. New Hampshire weather, we have a winter storm watch in effect from Rockingham and Hillsborough counties this afternoon through tomorrow afternoon. Clouding up, chance of snow this afternoon from Concord South from the seacoast toward Keene. High single numbers in Coos County, ranging upper teens in southern parts of the state. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from Seacoast Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, orthopedics and team physicians for the UNH Wildcats, providing repair for ACL and rotator cuff tears for UNH athletes, sosmed.org. And Goose Bay Lumber Company of Chichester, fine hardwoods, boat lumber, marine plywood, and west systems for boats, canoes, kayaks, and wood surfboards, goosebaylumber.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, New Hampshire's gas tax debate has returned. We're looking at that amid a broader search for transportation funding in 2014, both here in the Granite State and elsewhere. We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. All one word. What do you think? Should the state raise its gas tax to then raise more money for roads, bridges, and other transit? Are there better ways to bring in revenue that have not been put on the table yet? And what about cutting back on transportation projects? Should the state adopt a scaled-down list of priorities instead of seeking more money? Tell us what you think. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. And Senator Forrester, just before the break, you were saying you appreciated what your fellow senator Rausch is doing, trying to raise the gas tax a little bit, but it's not enough. Go ahead and finish up there, please.
Thank you, Laura. Excuse me. Well, I also appreciate that the commissioner is trying very hard to do his job, and he has done a lot of work on this issue, obviously. I met with him a week or so ago, and we talked about the issues facing DOT, and you heard that earlier. There's an estimated $250 million shortfall to finish the improvements on I-93. Paving is estimated another $12 to $15 million per year. The state bridge program, we're going to need another $15 million for that. Talking about offset turnpike toll credits, $30 million, another $20 million with the offset of the use of federal dollars for operations. So there's a big number there. And that 4.2 cents is not going to fix that problem. And for me, I represent 27 communities in District 2. And as I go around in the last session and talk to my select boards and people in the communities about roads, we all agree the roads are in poor condition. Well, I should say the municipal roads. The state highways or the interstates were actually, we moved up, I believe, from 48th to 18th in terms of, our ranking moved from 46th up to 18th.
So if not through a, are you saying no to a gas tax, Senator Forrester?
I'm saying this is not going to solve the problem. And so, yes, in this particular instance, because my concern, what I started to say is my concern is that there is a perception out there that we're going to throw 4.2 cents at this, we're going to raise this money, and it's going to fix those municipal roads, and it will not. That money won't even cover the cost of the operational deficit that the Department of Transportation is seeing.
Okay, and in a couple minutes, I'll ask all of you what other options there might be beyond raising the gas tax. But Jamie Rall, I haven't forgotten about you. Give us the national picture. How much have other states struggled with this gas tax issue as they seek transportation funding in recent years?
Laura, this is a nationwide problem. I mean, the story from New Hampshire sounds a lot like the stories that we hear across all the states. All the states are facing really what has become a well-documented and worsening transportation funding crisis. And those gaps between revenues and spending, just like Brian was talking about, you know, the causes are the same across the country and at the federal level as well. People are driving less, they're buying less gas because their vehicles are more efficient. Inflation and rising construction costs, it's the same story everywhere.
So what are other states doing as they look for more money?
You know, states have really been looking at such an interesting assortment of options. In 2013, it was a watershed year. No state in their legislature had enacted a gas tax increase for the previous 3 years, 2010, 2011, 2012. Then suddenly in 2013, you know, I think as states are starting to recover from the recession a little bit and as they can start looking around beyond just getting their budgets together, there were six states in D.C. that enacted some kind of gas tax increase, and almost all of those were moving towards a tax that tracks with the economy in some way, either by tying the tax rate to the price of gas at some level or indexing to inflation, something to make it move with the economy.
Yeah, so tied to inflation. Go ahead, Jamie. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. But, you know, there's all of these other options that were on the table, even if they weren't enacted. You know, everything from casino revenues, obviously, was part of the New Hampshire conversation, but also privatizing liquor stores in Pennsylvania, fees on bicycle sales in Washington. States were really looking for anything they could do to bring in revenues to maintain and improve their transportation infrastructure.
But it seems like, Jamie, even with all those other options on the table, most of the time states return to the gas tax.
You know, nationwide, that is definitely the revenue source that states are relying the most heavily on. Every state levies taxes on gasoline and diesel. Gas taxes provide close to 40% of all state revenues for highways. This is still really the big source of transportation revenues. And it's an interesting conversation. I'd love to hear what your callers say about this because, you know, there are some people who say we're moving out of a world where we can continue to rely on gas taxes. You know, the world of petroleum as the heart of transportation in the United States, that's coming to an end. We're looking towards the future. And there are other people who say, no, realistically, this is always going to be a piece of what we do, but we have to look to expand our options and to supplement and complement with that with some other alternatives as well.
You know, I'd love to get your thoughts, our two guests in studio, on that. That's real interesting what you say, Jamie. Representative Bouchard, what do you think? We're moving out of a world where we can really rely on gas taxes. There's a new reality coming, and we need to move to a new model. I think that's fascinating. What do you think?
In 2000, I believe it was 2010, I chaired a commission to study the Highway Trust Fund on the state and the municipal level. And we looked at all forms of ways to raise revenue. And we finally came back to increasing the gas tax because we have the infrastructure in place to collect it, to audit it, and it's easy for the consumer, and it's also easy for the gas stations to sell it. But to look at other ways, like we did try the registration surcharge. The people of New Hampshire found that unfair because it wasn't based on use. Everybody was paying the same amount. In New Hampshire, we not only is our a gas tax, the 18 cents, lowest in New England, our diesel fuel tax also is the lowest in New England.
So those are separate taxes.
They're separate taxes. They both go in the Highway Trust Fund. The diesel is used mostly by the commercial trucking industry. And New Hampshire is also very unique in our tax structure. You know, to tie liquor sales to the Highway Trust Fund would take away from our general fund. Our road toll or our gas tax, the first 12% goes to the municipalities. So where Senator Forster was speaking about perhaps the 4.2 cents is not enough, I certainly agree, but it's a beginning. But it would also give money to our communities because with our Highway Trust Fund, the first 12% goes out to our communities as a block grant aid.
And those are the roads that people often complain
those
about.
Those are the
roads
that they
the
complain
roads.
About. And although some of our smaller communities may not be on a highway, they're state-numbered and unstate-numbered roads like my parents live in Epsom. So using the Route 4s and the Route 16s, which are state roads, which are falling in disrepair, are very important to these communities.
I want to get your thoughts, too, Senator Forster, and then we'll go to our listeners. This idea that Jamie raises that, you know, some states are starting to say, look, we're moving out of a world where we can reliably turn to gas taxes time and time again. We need a new model. What do you think?
And actually, I just read somewhere that the state of Virginia repealed their gas tax.
Really?
I think they're the first to do that because they recognize that it's not a sustainable source of revenue. And while I appreciate that 12% does go back to the communities, when I visit my communities again and see how poorly in repair, I guess, how what condition that they are in, the number, the amount of money going back to the communities, it's not going to even fix one road. And some of these roads haven't been maintained for 20, 30 years. You know, you may know that unnumbered roads get the summer maintenance is taken care of by the Department of Transportation. The winter maintenance is taken care of by the communities. But that summer maintenance hasn't been happening for years and years and years on some of these roads. And so it's gotten to the point where when it comes to winter maintenance, because the ditching hasn't been done and the grass hasn't been cut back, that you're seeing a lot of frost heaves and buildup of ice underneath the road pavement. So we've gotten to a very bad place. And make no mistake, I agree. You know, we have roads that need to be fixed, that need to be repaired. And I just want people to understand as we move forward with whatever it is we do, and I kind of liken it to almost the LCHIP grant funding. It's truth in taxing or truth in road tolling, whatever it is, that people understand where the money's going to go. Because I don't want anyone to be under the misconception that we're going to raise these taxes and then they're going to look and say, why isn't my road, my municipal road getting fixed?
I mean, I invite our listeners again to join us. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. The phone number, 1-800-892-6477. You can post a comment on our Facebook page as well. It's NHPR Exchange, all one word. Here's an email from Tina in Laconia, who says, I agree we certainly need to raise money to take care of roads and bridges. They are in great disrepair. A large part of New Hampshire's revenues come from tourism. These people are also using our roads and businesses weekly to a great extent. Most of this traffic influx is coming from states where gasoline costs more than here in New Hampshire. These people should also help us to bear the burden by paying via a usage fee in the form of an elevated gas tax. And I want to hear from both of you on this. Representative Bouchard, to you first, and then Senator Forrester. Go ahead, Representative Bouchard, to Tina's point.
Well, I appreciate the idea, but I think we have to remember we are a tourist state, and we want to welcome people here, and hopefully they drive around enough to purchase fuel here. Some states have actually put a tax for their highways and roads on car rentals. Hawaii, for one, I know, has quite a large tax. So they tried to get the tourists coming into the state that are renting cars by putting a tax on the car rentals.
Although most tourists in New Hampshire are probably driving from Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York.
And most of our tourists coming out of like Maine and Massachusetts and Vermont. We're a small state, so I don't know, even really know if they're fueling, you know, how often they really fuel up in the state. But I want to go back to the cities and towns. I know I'm also a city councilor for the city of Concord, and I know for the 2 years that the state had the surcharge on registration fees, that amount of money that the city of Concord received from the state within the 12% state block grant aid, you know, helped the city do extra paving. It was extra funds, because without this, as the senator has said, without any help from the state, to fix the roads and bridges comes down to our local property
tax.
So
a little bit helped, even
every
if it wasn't
little bit
perfect.
Helps.
To Tina's point, what do you think, Senator Forrester? And then I have another question for you, Jamie. To Tina's point, you know, look, if we raise the gas tax, we'll be taking in money not just from local people, but also from tourists who drive into our state reliably every weekend.
I appreciate that idea, as Representative Bouchard said as well. I do have a concern about when we rely on tourism as being a very big part of what attracts revenue in this state, that we are not seen as welcoming. So I'd be very cautious about that.
And although ours is lower than everybody else's, right, in New England?
Our gas tax?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Representative Bouchard, and then back to our listeners.
Ours is lower, but if you look at our border communities, that, you know, you can have a gas station in Maine on the border in Portsmouth, Nashua, Lawrence, the gas taxes, the price of gas is the same. So the tax isn't really being seen at when you're paying at the pump. The price of gas stays pretty much the same. It's actually kind of interesting. You can have an Irving and Concord having one price per gallon, and having the same an Irving in Tilton having a price per gallon much cheaper. So it's market driven. Our gas tax is not is not being employed by big oil. If anything, big oil is making money of New Hampshire because our taxes are cheaper.
Tina, thanks for that email. And here's another one from David in Post Mills, Vermont. He says, how about registration fees that are based on vehicle weight or weight per axle? And perhaps drivers would have to buy an additional windshield sticker if they want to use studded tires, which clearly damage roads. David, thanks for that email. What do you think, Jamie, this idea of imposing greater fees or taxes on vehicles that take more out of the roads?
You know, there are a number of states that already have something in place like that for commercial vehicles. It's four states right now that base some kind of tax for heavier commercial vehicles on weight and also on the miles they drive. So it gets this idea that when you're putting more wear and tear on the road, you're paying more. And wear and tear comes a couple different ways, how much you drive on the road and how much weight you're driving on the road. So that idea is out there, and that's definitely a part of this conversation about, if you will, kind of a next-gen transportation funding. If we do move away from the gas tax and maybe charge something based on the number of miles you drive instead of the gallons of gas you buy, could you put weight into that system as well? Could you take that into account? And the answer is, you definitely could if that was the way you wanted to go.
How widely used is it, or is it still just something that's being discussed, Jamie?
The per-mile charges?
No, the we talked earlier about the vehicle miles traveled and Oregon's experiment, mm-hmm. but just this idea of, you know, the heavier people who take more out of the roads should put more into the roads.
You know, the user pay principle, this idea that what you pay should be related to how much you use the system, that's always been a part of how we pay for transportation. I mean, the gas tax has that kind of built into it, if you think about it. Heavier
sure.
vehicles, in theory, are less efficient, and the more you drive, the more gas you use. So it's always in the conversation. And I think it's going to stay in the conversation no matter what kind of transportation revenue source we go towards.
David, thanks for that email. Again, the email address is exchange@nhpr.org. You can post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. And Deb's waiting in Milford. Hi, Deb, you're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. It looks like it's been covered in terms of conversation, because one of my thoughts was it was twofold. One was about the wear and tear on the road. I travel Route 31 often. We've got a number of heavy gravel trucks travel our road on a regular basis, and I can tell you what they have done for damage in just a year and a half. It's been amazing, and the roads already need to be repaved. The other thought I had was I also traveled down through Greenville, and the gas tax is much, not the gas price is much lower, and people do come up from Mass to tank up. So we may want to think about that type of tax for gas for a while.
Okay. Deb, thanks a lot for the call. Representative Bouchard, what do you think?
I think they're correct. If you use the roads, you should pay. And in New Hampshire, our registration fees for heavy trucks are more than they are for a regular vehicle. So we do look at the heavy commercial trucks as putting more wear and tear on our roads. So I think anything we can go forward with a user fee is, I think that's positive. And vehicle miles traveled, I think, in New Hampshire will have problems with the privacy issue.
We might want to talk about that a little bit later since Jamie raised it and Brian Walston also raised it. I'm curious, so Senator Forrester, you said you're concerned about the gas tax. You don't want to raise it at this point, and it's a finger in the dike, as you said. What do you think New Hampshire should look at in terms of finding revenues for roads? Or should we just scale back our list of priorities? Maybe we just do less.
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. And the one thing that we haven't talked about is the fact that there's been a diversion of funds from the Department of Transportation into other agencies, and that causes a problem. And we really need to take a serious look at that, stopping that diversion as we move forward.
How much of a diversion is it? Is it big, small?
Yeah, it's about $81 million.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is. And that's one thing I think we need to really look into. We need to figure out I guess, our priorities, and you talk about scaling back. And I, in reading the NCSL information and a lot of different documentation, this idea of fix it first. The roads that we have now, the infrastructure that we have now, we focus on that first, fix those, and then look about expanding or creating new projects.
Okay. We'll talk more after a short break. Take a lot more of your calls, emails, Facebook comments. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. The phone number, 1-800-892-6477. We'll be right back.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 939. Good morning. Coming up on the Diane Rehm Show, a new report from the Surgeon General says cigarette smoking is even worse than we thought. Then E.L. Doctorow on his new novel, Andrew's Brain. That's the Diane Rehm Show from 10 till noon on NHPR. New Hampshire weather, we have a winter storm watch in effect from Rockingham and Hillsborough counties this afternoon through tomorrow afternoon. Clouding up, chance of snow this afternoon from Concord south from the seacoast toward Keene. Highs from single numbers in Coos County ranging upper teens in southern parts of the state. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from North Branch Construction, celebrating 55 years in business from custom-built homes to eco-friendly commercial buildings on time, on budget, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and northbranch.net. And Concord Community Music School, now registering students for all ages for lessons and ensembles in jazz, classical, and folk music, and early childhood classes. ccmusicschool.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, we're joined by Health and Human Services Commissioner Nicholas Tumpas. Today in The Exchange, the gas tax debate is back in New Hampshire amid a broader search for transportation funding in 2014 here in the Granite State and elsewhere. Join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on Facebook. It's NHPR Exchange,
all one word, and Jamie Rawl with the National Conference of State Legislatures, Senator Jeanie Forrester, Representative Candace Bouchard. I want to go right back to our listeners, but Representative Bouchard, I know you want to jump in very quickly on Senator Forrester's concern that I have heard expressed elsewhere that the Transportation Department might not be under such strain if funds were not diverted for other purposes. Go ahead real quick, please.
Yeah, real quickly. Usually when that statement is made, they're referring to the Department of Safety, which under our Constitution that guarantees all money goes into the Highway Trust Fund, also states that the supervision of highways, which is the Department of Safety. The legislator over the years has done what they has closed windows, has closed doors. We really look really carefully of any money coming out of the Highway Trust Fund that isn't constitutionally protected going to projects that are not. Safety, years ago there was a bill passed that safety is only getting a percentage of the Highway Trust Fund in the budget. And also, to receive federal dollars, we need to have the supervision of highways, or we lose certain federal dollars if we're not doing supervising our highways. And it's also important to remember the Highway Trust Fund is not only the gas tax, it's registration fees and court fines and revenue received from driver's license, which is almost 50% of the Highway Trust Fund.
Okay, and you said the magic words, federal government, Representative Bouchard. I did want to ask Jamie what the status is or the predictions are for federal highway money this year. I know there are some concerns.
There are definitely some concerns. The federal gas tax, as was mentioned earlier, hasn't been raised since 1993, and so it's losing its purchasing power against inflation just the same as state taxes. And that's pretty significant. You know, states are looking to the federal government for about 20% of highway and transit funding combined. But at the federal level, it's really important to understand transportation is facing its own fiscal cliff. The current federal surface transportation law, MAP 21, expires September this year, and that law didn't even solve the core problem of structural funding gaps. It just transferred funds from one source to another to kind of keep the federal program solvent. And if nothing changes, that program's going to hit zero before the law is due to be renewed.
Wow.
Meaning sometime this summer, the Federal Highway Trust Fund, at least the highway account of that, is going to be unable to reimburse states if Congress doesn't act. And so this is another reason, I think, that states are really taking the lead in talking about solutions to this problem, because although I don't think, you know, as we look in our crystal balls, we certainly hope that there's going to continue to be a strong federal partner and that they're not just going to fall away, that they'll do something, either a short-term fix or a longer-term fix, to make sure that the crisis doesn't hit. Even so, states are being wise and saying, okay, what do we have to do to make sure that we can continue to pay for transportation infrastructure with or without a sustainable and reliable federal program.
Wow, but that federal partnership, as you call it, Jamie, that's a big, big chunk of most states' funds. Boy, that'd be a lot less money coming in if the feds all of a sudden said, you know, no, we don't have anything left.
Absolutely. In most of the states, federal funds altogether make up more than state gas taxes in
wow.
terms of revenues used for highways. So if that goes away, you know, there's a real problem. But the last time, a couple years back, that those funds were in danger, even for a couple days, Congress moved quickly because it was just too big of a deal. They couldn't leave that unresolved. And so I think it took 3 days for Congress to actually get the program moving again.
Let's take some more calls if we could. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Buddy's waiting in Brookline. Hi, Buddy. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Great. Thank you very much. The way the gas tax is set up right now, the tax is shared between on-highway use and off-highway use. And the way I understand the new tax is all the tax is going to go to the highway guys, and none of it's going to be shared with the off-highway guys, which is like the trail users and that type of thing. And my example is, on Sunday morning, we had our grandkids. We fired up 4 snowmobiles, went for a ride, spent $35 on lunch. They rode around our yard until the Patriots game got going. And last night I stopped and bought 20 gallons worth of gas, which was, what, $60, and gas up the snowmobiles for this coming weekend. And as long as the gas tax isn't going to be shared with the off-highway guys, because we go much farther with our dollars doing trail work than the state does, I'm in total opposition to it, and my Representative Flanagan and Levake and Senator Peggy Gilmore all know that, and I think that's going to be their big stumbling block.
So, buddy, snowmobilers and ATVers are also paying the gas tax and not seeing the benefit to their trails. Is that what you're saying?
With the way the new apportionment is, you know, all this tax is going to go to the state, and none of that's going to be shared with trail users, if we can use that.
Okay. Buddy, thanks a lot for calling in. Representative Bouchard?
I think what Buddy is referring to is the for the off-road vehicles, and it's the same with boaters. When you buy fuel, when you buy gas, you can fill out a form and you get a rebate for the gas that you bought because you're not using the vehicle or the boat on the road. And I think that's what he's referring to. And so the unclaimed would go to, you know, whatever agency.
But could Buddy claim it?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. There's a form. He can still do that. The way this bill was drafted and Representative Campbell's bill was drafted, that all the money that being collected in this new user fee would go directly to highways and bridges.
And so, I think what he's probably referring to is last Representative Campbell's bill last session, and there was some reference made to taking that money that should otherwise be refunded.
I see. But that's not the case this year with this new bill.
No. It wasn't taking money that should be refunded.
Right.
It was money that everything that was being raised would just go into the Highway Trust Fund and the municipalities.
All right, buddy. I hope that answers your question. Let's take another call. This is Bert in Manchester. Hi, Bert. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like your speakers to comment on this. If I go to the gas station and I pay $3.25 a gallon for gasoline, and the next time it is $3.30, I just fill my tank and go on. But there are people that cry about a 12-cent a gallon increase in gasoline taxes. That money stays in New Hampshire to our benefit. The increase in gasoline price goes someplace else to the companies or goes overseas. So please tell me, somebody, why people are so adamant against the 12-cent a gallon gasoline increase.
Okay.
I'll take your answer off this.
Bert, thank you for calling. Senator Forrester, I'm going to throw that to you, and then Jamie, I have another question for you. Go ahead, Senator Forrester.
Your caller mentioned a 12-cent increase.
I think his broader point is just, look, the money stays in New Hampshire, so...
It does stay in New Hampshire, and as I said, I've never disputed the fact that we have a problem with infrastructure, and we need to look at that. My concern is, again, that 4 cents or 4.2-cent raise in the gas tax is going to go to really the thing that it needs to go to, because we're not going to want to lay off 700 people like the commissioner has been saying. So that money, I would guess, would have to go to the operational deficit. So the 4.2 cents is not going to go to fix the roads.
I think when the people of New Hampshire, and I know this from the previous gas bills I've been on, when the people in New Hampshire know that the money is going to their roads and bridges, they support it.
I agree. When they know it's going to the roads and bridges.
Well,
and
our money does go to roads and bridges, but, and the diversion has been used as by naysayers.
But the bottom line is, since 2006, we've spent $100 million a year on improvements in roads and bridges. And if you look at our total operating expenses are up 22.4% over that time. So you have to look at a lot of different things about where the expenses are.
Here's an email that just came in. Bert, thank you for that call. Here's an email that just came in from Robert. And Jamie, I'm going to throw this to you. He says, does the state of New Hampshire lose federal funding for not having a seatbelt law? If not, perhaps we should consider enacting a law and taking advantage of those funds. Do you know, Jamie, about the interplay between motorcycle helmet laws, seatbelt laws, and federal highway funding?
Wow, you are getting a little bit outside of my purview
okay.
there.
Okay, I'm going to throw it to...
But it certainly plays a role.
I got another question for you too, Jamie, but go ahead, Representative Bouchard.
The state of New Hampshire does lose highway fund money for not having a seatbelt law, but at the same time, the highway fund money we use would not go to roads and bridges. It's money that is mandated to some sort of safety program. So, yes, we do lose money, but it's not money that would go to building roads and bridges.
I see. Okay. You know, I did want to ask you, Jamie, how much are other states, in the face of the fiscal constraints that we're talking about, just saying, you know, okay, let's not do that project. Let's not expand right now. Senator Forrester touched on this earlier. The fix it first idea. Let's just do the bare minimum. How much are you seeing states, Jamie, instead of looking for more revenues, looking to cut back on what they do in terms of roads and bridges?
You know, honestly, I don't think it's an either or. We're hearing stories from across the country that states are, on the one hand, cutting back, doing more with less, really scaling back their programs, and on the other hand, also trying to catch up just to be able to even do the bare minimum. You know, we're talking about catching up enough to be able to do adequate maintenance before you even get to expansion and improvement in a lot of states. So I don't think it's an either or. I really think states are doing both. They're looking at efficiencies and they're looking at keeping pace with their revenues. Something else I wanted to mention is, you know, just across the states in general, this concern about diversions has really been part of the conversation. You know, so it's not just about having enough revenues and making sure your program is efficient, but it's also about making sure that the dollars are being used in the way that they were originally intended to be used, whatever that may be, however that may be defined. And in 2013, again, another trend we saw, maybe a quieter one than the gas taxes, was that four states enacted measures to place additional protections on their transportation funds, and in two of those states, the measures proposed constitutional amendments and will have to be approved by voters. Also, Virginia's bill, the one that changed its approach from a cents per gallon tax to a percentage-based tax, so kind of quote-unquote got rid of the traditional gas tax. That bill also had provisions to make sure that the new funds generated by that legislation would be used only for transportation purposes. So this is a part of the conversation while states are really asking all of those questions.
Yeah, so they got rid of the traditional gas tax in Virginia. So what did they replace it with, if anything?
They replaced it with a percentage of price tax plus a portion of the sales tax. So it's not that they're not taxing gasoline. They are, but they're not doing it where they're collecting a certain number of cents per gallon. They're doing it where they do it. There's a percentage of wholesale price tax, so it's 3.5% for gasoline, 6% for diesel, and then additional rate increases depending on some other factors.
I see. So it's like a sales tax, a differently configured sales tax.
Yes. It's kind of like a sales tax, but it's based on the price of gas specifically at the wholesale level.
Wow. Okay. A lot to wrap your head around there about the way they do it in Virginia. Thanks for that call. Here's an email that came in earlier from Leah, who says, please ask Senator Forrester, what does she want? What solution does she want to see? Thank you, Leah, for the email. What do you think, Senator Forrester? In an ideal world, how would you see New Hampshire fund its transportation?
Wow, if I had the answer to that, I'd be in a much higher position, I think, than I am. I think clearly, as I've said before, we need to address this issue, and we are looking at it. Representative Bouchard has done some real good work in that respect. The gas tax is only is not going to solve the problem. And so, as I said earlier, I think we need to look at this, fix it first, fix the roads and bridges that we have now before we do any other new projects.
Including I-93?
Well, I mean, we're already down that road. So that's we're going to have to, or we should finish that. I think we also need to look at the private-public partnerships that you hear so much about. And you may have heard this concept thrown out there. I know Senator Bradley has a bill filed which requires energy projects to use state rights of way. We had this discussion with the commissioner about using state rights of way, and then us collecting the revenue that would go towards fixing our roads and bridges.
So other alternatives besides the gas tax?
Yes.
Yeah. Representative Bouchard, I know you have some thoughts there.
Well, I think it's always good to look for other alternatives and, you know, what's viable and what actually would bring in revenue. I have concern about Senator Bradley's bill. There are people who think that having the utilities bury their lines under our state right-of-ways would bring in millions of dollars, which is absolutely not true. In fact, New Hampshire doesn't own all the right-of-ways to our roads. We have a lot of easements. We do have the right-of-ways on our interstates. Mm-hmm. But if we have a bill that says the utility shall bury under, then when the state has to do any maintenance to the road that would cause those utilities to be disturbed because the state required them to put the utilities under the ground. The state would then be responsible for paying for all the removing of the utilities and putting them back, which was very, very expensive.
So it could be a cost involved.
The state of New Hampshire right now with UNH, there's about 5.5 miles where there are utilities. I think it's a methane gas. The state gets about $25,000 a year for that, but that is something that the utility wanted to do, and also once or twice the road had to be dug up for, I think, bridge work. The utilities had to pay that cost, which is very, very expensive. So I think it's something to look at, but to look at it as millions of dollars coming into the state to help the highway fund, it'll be helpful, but it's not going to fix the problem.
And Senator Forrester, to you, how high are hopes in the Senate that a casino could help solve this problem? I know that was where the Senate went last year, that casino revenues could help fund roads and bridges.
Well, of course, that is the, I guess, the feeling in the Senate is that casino revenues would help with funding of transportation.
And is that the approach that you folks in the Senate are going to take again this year?
Not me.
Not you. All right. We won't speak for others.
Okay.
Jamie, one last question for you. You mentioned many states took action on this issue last year. What are your expectations for this year when it comes to more states sort of jumping into this transportation funding issue?
The expectations are that states are going to keep looking at this. We're only about 3 weeks into the new year, and already I've heard about between 10 and 15 states that are rumored to be acting on this in some way this year. Last year, it was the vast majority of states that introduced bills on this issue, and it looks like there's already a lot of activity in 2014.
All right. Well, Jamie, it's really good to have you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Jamie Rawl, transportation policy expert at the National Conference of State Legislatures. She joined us from Denver. Representative Bouchard, it was good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Representative Candace Bouchard, Democratic state rep from Concord, chairwoman of the House Transportation Committee. Jeanne Forrester, thank you also for your time. We really appreciate it. That's Senator Jeanne Forrester, Republican state senator from Meredith, chair of the Senate Finance Committee. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Nate Graby. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoi.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoi, and tomorrow on The Exchange, Health and Human Services Commissioner Nick Tumpas. Major changes for his agency this year include private providers beginning to oversee health care for low-income Granite Staters. Also, Tumpas's department will have to meet some new conditions imposed by the recent settlement of a mental health lawsuit. And a new study shows that this state has one of the highest rates of teenage marijuana use. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show, next at 10 on New Hampshire Public Radio, where support comes from UR members and Southern New Hampshire's Montessori Academy in Londonderry, an enriched elementary private school education that provides a path for your child's success. Details at snhma.org. And The Telegraph, providing local news coverage and advertising opportunities for today's complexities, online at nashuatelegraph.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
It is 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. 50 years ago this month, The Surgeon General issued a landmark report linking smoking to lung cancer. At the time, nearly half of American adults smoked cigarettes. Now, a new report from the Surgeon General finds that while fewer Americans smoke today